Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm gonna be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
This is The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Remnant Show. I am Bill Snyder. It's great to be with you. And I want to remind everybody that this show is sponsored by the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group. You can visit fsjjourneyman.com to review the easy-to-follow resource documents and consider starting a chapter of the FSJ Journeyman Group in your parish today. As always, I'm joined by my co-hosts and good friends, Ray Haywood and Stephen Thomas. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about the sanctity of the family. How are you guys today?
Great. I'm happy to be here.
Looking forward to this time in fellowship.
Absolutely. And I know, Ray, you were going to kind of kick us off, so we'll let you begin on the sanctity of the family.
Yes, absolutely. So the sanctity of family is so close to my heart. I want to begin by saying that we are very intentional in the topics of the shows that we present to all of you. It goes back to our original commitment to each other of challenging our listeners to current events. Although the sanctity of the family should not be considered a current event topic, it very much is. I believe it to be, at this moment in time, very much a part of our defending the faith. If we continue to allow the secular world to take away the authority of the Father and further remove God's divine design for the Trinity of the family, the order and the form that the sanctity of the family provides to our communities will be lost. We will fall into chaos in all aspects of our lives that will not be able to pull ourselves out of. We just won't be able to pull ourselves out of it if we let this continue. So we have all heard that the last fight will be waged against the family. We have also all heard that all evil needs to prevail is for good men to stand by idle and to do nothing. With that perspective in mind, I would like to start out approaching the sanctity of the family by sharing definitions I found on both sanctity and family. I want to say up front that these are the best definitions I could find. It is evident when you look up these definitions, how much our secular world is chipping away at taking away the authority of the Father and dismantling the nuclear family from view out in our public square. So, definition of sanctity. Sanctity describes something that is holy, like the sanctity of religious objects to believers. Sanctity goes back to the Latin roots sanctus, meaning holy or sacred. A synonym for sanctity is godliness, and most religions describe God as completely holy. Sanctity also can describe sacred objects or rites. You may have heard of the sanctity of marriage, meaning the value and respect society shows towards married people. Full stop. I want to say that again. Really? May have heard of the sanctity of family, of marriage? You know, this is like crazy. So then we go on to the definition of family. And family / kinship goes like this. Family, a group of persons united by the ties of marriage, blood, or adoption, constituting a single household of interacting with each other in their respective social positions. Usually those of spouses, parents, children, and siblings. The family group shall be distinguished from a household, which may include boarders sharing a common residence. It should also be differentiated from a kindred, which also concerns bloodlines, because a kindred may be divided into several households. Frequently, the family is not differentiated from the marriage pair, but the essence of the family group is the parent-child relationship, which may be absent from many marriage pairs. Now listen, that all sounds confusing when I'm sharing it with you, and this is the best description that I could get of family. This is just, it's crazy. I'm sure 10 years ago, if you would have looked up the definition of family, it would be so much more concise and so much more sharing of objective truth of what family is. I see you're shaking your head there, Bill. You agree? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Here is the simple answer, our go-to. Natural law supports and aligns perfectly with God's divine design for the family. So natural law, man and woman perfectly complement each other for procreation. God's law, the sacrament of marriage binds the family. I shouldn't even have to go further than that, but I will. The head, the father leads. The heart, the mother nurtures. The child completes the domestic church and fulfills God's will as we are all guided through humility and discipline in our all-enduring, everlasting, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We are provided for our every need through the deposit of faith, our apostolic succession of written word and sacred tradition, all the tools needed toward working out our salvation. Beautiful, no? I suggest that when we are challenged out in the public square on the authority of traditional roles and the sanctity of the family, we go to the objective truth to be found in the definition of natural law that cannot be denied. Let's even use the secular world's narrative and choice statement of, let's follow the science. The sad reality for many of our young souls and children is that they know no other view of family other than the situational truth. I'm going to say that again. The situational truth of family that is currently perpetuated out in our secular world. We need to be aware of this fact and be intentional in challenging and changing this view for our loved ones. Let's be intentional in fighting the good fight for our families and for our future generations of Catholics to come. What do you fellas think about what was just shared there? I mean, the best examples that I could find?
That's certainly quite the indictment. It is this very, very profound, your analysis of the family and what's happened. Now, when I thought of the family, I began to think, you know, what's the core reason for us Catholics and for us Christians writ large for why the family is sacred? And I think my answer lied in the life of Christ. Christ sanctified the family by entering into the world through one. He had parents. Firstly, his mother Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, who in the Eastern churches is honored by the title Theotokos, or God Bearer. He also had a foster father, Saint Joseph, whom he would have obeyed during his temporal life. And he would have learned the trade of carpentry from Saint Joseph, as was the custom at that time. Now, I believe that the very fact of the Holy Family's existence testifies to that objective truth that family is sacred. Even more than that, the family is requisite as a stable building block of a healthy society. One of the problems today in America and in the Western world writ large is the disintegration of the family, which is linked to increased rates of crime, drug use, mental illness, and a cycle of poverty. No family in the human race is perfect, of course, but the truth is that people need families, and the data out there paints a stark picture, as societies cannot survive without families. Bill, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you guys did such an amazing job at really highlighting why the family is so necessary, and really how it is the fundamental unit, right? This is the domestic church. I wanted to talk a little bit about it from my personal experience, because I think, you know, all of us are in families, and each of us has a different experience of family, right? Especially with regards to when you were born. You know, Ray, you have a vastly different experience than I had, and probably even Stephen has, because of just the age differences and the times in which we were born. I know that's true from speaking with my parents, right? You know, they were born in a time, and I know it's true for my sister, who was born 10 years after I was. So it's just different how we look at and encounter the family. And I want to say this about it. Do we believe that our family is an area of our lives that can lead us to sanctification? Are the members in our family, the moments that we gather together, sanctified? You know, right now we're in the midst of the holiday season, and we spend an awful lot of time with family during the holiday season. Aunts and uncles come out of the woodwork for holiday Christmas parties or for Thanksgiving dinners, whatever it might be. We're spending that time with one another. And I'll tell you of an interesting Christmas that I had. Gosh, it's several years ago now. My grandfather passed away in 2016. He passed away in December 21st, actually, of 2016. And it was right in the middle of the holidays. You want something to throw your family into chaos, have a family member die, 4 days before the Christmas season. But I'll tell you what was incredible about that. We ended up having kind of a split Christmas. My mom flew into Philadelphia, where my grandfather was living, and we were in Illinois at the time. And so my dad and my brother, or my dad and my sister and my grandmother, his mom, ended up gathering for a Christmas dinner in Illinois, and then we drove 12 hours across the country to the funeral. And we didn't have the funeral until like a few days after the new year. But what was amazing about that, I'll never forget it, was I had the opportunity in a full house in my grandmother's house to sleep in the room where my grandfather had passed away. He had passed away in the living room, and they had put in this hospice bed and whatnot. And the hospice bed was still there the night that I got there. They hadn't moved it back up to the other room. And so they're like, here, you can sleep in this, room. And it wasn't the exact bed. It was the bed my grandmother slept in while he was passing away. But it was incredible. I was able to sleep in that room and be there for this experience and this wild, wild Christmas that we had. But something made it so sanctified. It was just a beautiful moment. And do we allow these moments to enter into us? Do we, through the chaos, through this, the craziness? Not every single person was a practicing Catholic that was at, in a member of our family attending the funeral. There were struggles and stuff that were going on. But do we look at that as a way that we are going to be made holy by being humble and having an attitude of humility and sacrifice, driving all the way across the country, taking days off of work to be a part of something? Do we do that? Do we allow these moments to sanctify us? That would be my thoughts on, family, and understanding that when we participate in this, because we don't have a choice, we're born into a family, we're going to participate in our family one way or the other. But when we participate in it, are we doing it from the aspect of allowing Christ into it so that we can be made holier? Because that's really what this is all about. Right now, though, we got to take a short break on this episode of The Remnant. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned, folks.
Today, many students go to college with numerous questions about their faith. yearning to know if the seed planted in them as a child is both true and practical. Using the miracle on the road to Emmaus as a model, young adult ministers conversed weekly for 3 months with college students about the most pressing questions they had about the Catholic faith. As they journeyed together virtually, something amazing happened. Doubts disappeared, fears faded, and Jesus revealed that he is still alive. Hearts Burning Within Us, the latest book from Patchwork Heart Ministry, is a result of that grace-infused conversation. It is the perfect back-to-school gift for recent high school graduates and current college students. Get your copy for them today at patchworkheart.org or by calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Welcome back to The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Remnant, the remanaged show. So, this week we chose Louis and Zelie Martin, who's the parents of St. Therese, Little Flower. And there's reason why we chose them. But I learned so much from being a part of this show. Stephen and Bill challenged me to grow and to know parts of our faith history that I would never know about without their encouragement. I truly mean that. You know, the preparing for this show is awesome, and it brings me so close. And then we get to share it with you so simply. So when I looked at the history of Louis and Zelie Martin, I found that they lived celibate lives even after they were married. And it was at the encouragement of a priest that they consummated their marriage. This is pretty wild. So they went on to have 9 children, of which 5 daughters lived, and one being Saint Therese, who we know as the Little Flower. These parents tie in so well with this episode's topic of sanctity of the family, as they are the only traditional family, meaning mother, father, and child, in church history to be all be saints. Isn't that a wild thing? Bill, I think it was you that brought us to that awareness. Just think about that. I'll never forget that this is the only, you know. And then now I know about Little Flower, why she's called Little Flower. I know about her book, you know, that her journal that became a book. What's the name of that? I think it's Soul of Love. I'm not sure exactly, but if you look this all up for yourself, there's so many YouTubes on this where you don't even have to read anything. You just click on a 5-minute YouTube and you learn so much about our saints. But thank you for challenging me to this. Stephen, what do you got for us?
So I think it's called The Story of a Soul, by the way. Yes. But yeah, I just couldn't help but think about what Louis and Zelie, being the only mother and father paired to become canonized saints. And I just was thinking, like, what the most profound thing is, what that union produced, you know, what it was capable of. So, you know, we're thinking about the sanctity of the family when we planned this. And of course, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, well, Louis and Zelie because of Saint Therese. Of course, easy. The Little Flower, first thing that comes to mind. So what is the legacy of Louis and Zelie then? Well, to give you a little bit about the Little Flower, she ended up being very unique in her spiritual life, which became known as the Little Way. And she's credited one with saying this: I told Jesus not to use me as a valuable toy children are content to look at, but dare not touch, but to use me like a ball of no value, which he could throw to the ground, push with his foot, pierce, leave in a corner, or press it to his heart if it pleased him. And the Little Way's philosophy is not rooted in the profundity of deep, moving prayers, which are, of course, of value, but rather in plainly speaking to Christ and Mary in prayer, and of doing small and ordinary things with great love. I think that's such a great example of imitating Christ. And I think that particular quote is important because I think it only possible because of the family that the little flower was raised in. I mean, the language of it is so childlike, but not in a, you know, kind of stupid way, but in a noble simplicity in its softness almost. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, in a similar way, in a very similar way, I wanted to look at the writings of Saint Therese, actually from a story of a soul, because, again, just like you said, Stephen, when you reflect on the writings of Saint Therese, you see that there's no other way that this could have happened but through the family unit and the encouragement of having saintly parents. And when you know that, you know, you see this. Now, that's not the case for every saint in the history of the church, but in this instance, it's so evident, right? You know, and so I just wanted to read this quote from prayer about prayer from a story of a soul. And it says this: "Sometimes when I am in such a state of spiritual dryness that not a single good thought occurs to me, I say very slowly the Our Father or the Hail Mary, and these prayers suffice to take me out of myself. I then take refuge in prayer and turn to Mary, and our Lord always triumphs. My strength lies in prayer and sacrifice. These are invincible weapons and touch hearts more surely than words can do, as I have learned by experience." And it goes on and on. But I just think, again, that prayer and being rooted in prayer, simply the Our Father, the Hail Mary, like these things come to us from our families, and they are taught to us by our bedsides. I talk a lot about the bedtime prayers that I say, I said as a kid, and I pass them on to my son. You know, even now he's 6 months old, but I pass them on to my son. And the reality is that these very simple things are what ends up moving our families toward heaven collectively. And so, you know, when we recognize and plug into a saintly family and the intercession of a saintly family like this, we can do amazing things. Those ordinary things that I'm talking about, like surviving Christmas dinners and surviving funerals and surviving all of these things, we can do it when we plug ourselves in to the to that saintly power and the and their intercession. So I want to move into my remanent challenge, kind of with the tone of what Saint Therese is talking about, because she talks about this spiritual dryness, right? And not a single good thought occurs to me. Well, I've had that happen in my family before, right? Like I've thought, oh my gosh, how the heck am I going to survive this person or this encounter, you know, with these people? And it's not easy, right? But how are we going to do that? So what I would suggest for the remanent challenge this week is, as we go through the dry periods and those family relationships that might be dry, remember that no relationship is perfect. But when the tensions begin to rise, slow down, just like Saint Therese does. Pray the Hail Mary, pray the Our Father, take a deep breath, and remember that the other person in this situation, or persons or family unit or whatever it might be, are children of God too. And then, what area are you struggling with? Is there a family member that needs to bring forgiveness, that you need to bring forgiveness to? Do you need to give somebody a break? You know, are you riding somebody too hard in your family? You know, a child, a spouse, are you giving them so much of a hard time? You just need to back off a little bit. Identify that person, and through prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to heal it, cooperate with the Holy Spirit in some small way, you know, to bring healing and start that process, or, you know, bring compassion, bring generosity into that. It's hard, and it's not going to happen overnight. But just start that process, and even the identification process, you know, just start that. So, Stephen, what are your thoughts on the remanent challenge?
I love yours. It made me think that a large part, you know, a lion's share of being a man is being able to step outside of yourself. And I think that message today comes to us through the mouth of a child. So to round out what we've been talking about, I want you to pick one thing you either don't regularly do or something you just outright dislike doing. And I want you to try your best to do it with great love in the model of the little flower. Bonus points if it involves doing something for another person. I know for me, it's dishes. I don't like doing dishes, but I'm going to do my best to get out there and go out of my way to do an extra load of dishes. So if it's something like that, I feel you, but get out there and do your one thing. Ray, what's your challenge?
Before I get into my challenge, I want to go back on what Bill was sharing a little. I want to say that, you know, the deposit of faith hands down to us in sacred tradition some virtues that we learn through our faith walk. But in our families, you know, our domestic churches, what I was hearing when Bill was talking was that, you know, many of our virtues are learned behaviors from the people who love us, the people who raise us. So, you know, that you struck a chord with me there, Bill, especially as a young father. You get it. You know what's important and you're pushing forward and you're making sure you're handing that on to your son. I love to hear that. So my remaining challenge this week is that when we're sitting on the couch watching television, or when we're listening along in the car to a commercial that suggests anything other than traditional roles, which is often nowadays, that we as grandfathers, fathers, husbands, brothers, uncles, and cousins take the time out to share with the young souls in our presence, our loved ones, what we are all discussing here today. We need to choose to not sit by idle as the worldly message and the messaging washes over our loved ones. We need to be intentional and challenging and changing the trajectory of the family, of our families, of our faith communities, and ultimately change the trajectory of our public square towards God's divine design of the sanctity of the family. Are you with me, my brothers?
Absolutely, man.
Can you feel me?
Better believe it.
Well, guys, this was awesome. What a fun episode to be able to chat with you and all of our listeners. I want to remind you that you can always contact us on social media. Please reach out to The Remnant Show. It's very simple on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's on anywhere that, you know, podcasts can be found through the Carolina Catholic Media and Radio Network. So we're very excited, but please reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Ray, I'm pretty sure you know all the handles. So let people know the handles they can reach out to us on.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a simple email. It's theremnantshow@gmail.com. Very important. We also set up the social media platforms of Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So we're there. And more importantly, like we've shared with all of our listeners in the past, if you have something you want us to discuss, reach out to us, send us an email. If you think something we shared was not close to topic or off topic, challenge us the way we're challenging you each week. So, you know, get involved. If we're your team, if we're your faith community that you're connecting with, then actually connect. What do you think?
Absolutely. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, from all of us here at The Remnant and the Carolina Catholic Media Network, I'm Bill Snyder. May God bless you and your families.
Thank you for joining The Remnant today. For more information about us, email theremnantshow@gmail.com. That's The R-E-M-E-N-A-N-T show at gmail.com.